This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. That's innovatedcompanies.com. Special thanks go out to Randy and Stephanie Green for their continued support of our show. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They are the name you need to know. Innovatedcompanies.com. Whether it's construction, heating, or cooling, the electric team, and now the plumbing team, they've got you covered. 35 years experience, a second-generation craftsman, and an all-around tremendous human being. More importantly than any of this, if he shakes your hand, he's a man of his word, folks. Let him save you time, energy, and most importantly, money. That's my man, Randy Green, at InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, on the show this week, looking at, getting ready for the All-Star break, I guess. Interesting week of baseball for the Cardinals. Some days off here, five games coming up. Heading into the break, all kinds of things to talk about. We're all over the place with this team. We've had so much happen in the last week. Obviously, we just had the one show on Monday, had the special edition that I had done with Jake DePue. And once again, I had a lot of people comment, send me stuff on it. They enjoyed it. If you're a real baseball person or you're somebody that likes to learn about the game, Jake's a tremendous young man. I call him a kid, but he's a young man, and he was very gracious with his time, and I wish him and his counterparts luck this weekend, or this week, as they prepare to with their endeavor over here on the Illinois side of the river. They got a lot of work to do, and again, we appreciate his insight. We're very fortunate to have a guy that spent many, many years in the league and and still spending time in the clubhouse and around the field, and basically is a lifer in the game of baseball on the M4 by Yachty.com hotline. That's the one, the only, Benji Molina. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, guys. How you guys doing over there?
Doing all right. And when you say guys, there's no Steve-O today, but of course, lucky to have, like we do on normal Mondays when his school schedule allows, Josh Potter, my man, Art City Media. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys?
Well, guys, man, I got to tell you, it was an interesting week last week of Cardinal baseball. I always try to, being a fan podcast, I always try to see where we're at from the pulse of the fans. It was an interesting week because, we split with San Francisco, which, they had been playing really well at home. We win a series against Arizona, who are very good, and let's face it, they're a first-place team, right? So, all in all, if you went out there and played Arizona and San Francisco in a seven-game set and you went 4-3, typically you'd be pretty happy. Cardinal fans are unhappy today. There's a lot going on. The first and foremost thing going on, and obviously we're going to talk as much as we can about it. We say it all the time. I'm not here to put Benji in a bad spot. But the bottom line is nobody wants to talk about anything except the relationship between Dexter Fowler and Mike Matheny. It leads people to believe, well, if there's a problem there, there's probably a problem with everybody. So therefore, that's the now we know the reason why they're not any good. Once again, it's Mike's fault. He can't get along with guys. Guys don't like him. They're not playing hard for him, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, right? So, you know, the manner in which we lose, again, has people always questioning what's going on. It's just a, you know, for lack of a better description, it is the same shit, different day, to be quite honest with you. So, in this continuum, where do we go from here? It's just, I tell you what I feel like as a fan today. I feel like the mouse on the wheel. Like I'm just running, and I'm going nowhere. Benji, first and foremost, am I wrong that typically if you would go out west and play San Francisco 4 games and Arizona 3 games and you were 4-3, you'd probably be like, okay. But we can't get away from the fact that it's the way we're losing and all the stuff that's going on. Is it going to be really hard for this team to find any sort of rhythm the way it's going with there's just no, like, we just can't get going for a long stretch here. I don't know that there's one reason here, but do you see this team being able to have some sustainable success?
With the talent we have, yeah. We also, how we started, with 3 guys struggling, we beat on that for a while. We saw that Carp couldn't hit at the beginning of the year, Fowler struggling and Wong, and we still did okay. We still were playing good ball. I mean, obviously up and down. I mean, not like you say straight up, but like up and down baseball. But look where we are right now. We're still in it. And those guys, Carp has turned the corner, you know, and we needed him bad. So we need the same from Fowler. We need the same from Wong. Wong finally hit the 200 mark, I think. We need Fowler to just keep doing his thing and find ways to help out this team because he ain't going nowhere. That's just the bottom line, man. Very simple for fans to maybe see it different, maybe trade him, maybe get rid of him or do something. That kid ain't going nowhere, man. We need to find a way to get him going. Bader's playing great ball. So if Fowler keeps struggling, maybe in the bench, he'll be coming off the bench or something, and then Pham picking it up. I mean, this team has the pieces, man. I'm really excited to see when this team hit the corner of everybody just doing normal. I'm not asking for everybody to be a superstar at any moment, but like to be normal, just to be themselves, and Pham to be himself, to Fowler be himself, and Wong. And I want to see that because the pitching that we have, man, I did an interview with the San Francisco Giants radio, and you should hear what they talk about the pitching that we have. You should hear the things that they said about our pitching. I mean, they were just going off on our pitching a good way and saying all these great things. We have the good pitching. We can pitch, and we will pitch. But our offense needs to get going, obviously, and once they do, man, these guys can do it. You saw what happened with the good team in the Diamondbacks. At their place, which they can beat anybody at their place at any moment and beat series. We got their series, man. I mean, it was just amazing. So, yeah, I'm waiting for them to explode. Yes, they have the talent to do so, and I'm excited, man. I don't have anything negative. You know, the only thing that could hurt us, obviously, the Fowler deal with Matheny and Mo. But those things happen all the time. Those things don't go too far. That thing happens a lot to many teams when the veteran cannot hit at the moment and they have to be seated. You know the veteran's going to go to the manager. You know the veteran's going to say something maybe in the media or the GM might say something. We know that. It happens to every single team. So I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried is that the guys love Fowler or not. You know, that's what I'm worried about, you know, the guys.
Yeah, you know, I look at, I mean, let's do this. Let's just get the let's just get the Dexter thing out of the way. All right, let's just get that 30,000-pound pink elephant out of the room. For starters, this isn't something that just started. I mean, let's not be dumb here, okay? This is...
Started last year.
Yeah, okay. See, that's the thing. I think a lot of people think this thing started this year. I don't believe that, and I always say that we try to trend very lightly on things that are not going to put you in a bad spot. But the reality of it is, this has been going on since last year. And I don't, and everybody immediately, and this is my thought on it. I'm going to, based on, let's just say, what I know, and we'll leave it at that. So this has been going on since last year, and it's all a product of Fowler, quite honestly, not wanting to be moved out of the leadoff spot, and then compounded by the fact that he's been moved from center field. So everybody's going to have to explain to me how this is Mike's fault. And I'm going to say this too. If anybody thinks Mike hasn't tried to mend this relationship with Dexter, they're wrong. If you're listening to this and you think Mike has not tried to mend this relationship with Dexter, you're wrong. Benji, stop me at any point where I'm out of line.
No, you're not. I mean, that's the truth. Mike is a very nice guy. Everybody likes Mike in that matter, obviously. And Mike and Mo, they both go and look for the solution of the problem. They all do. I mean, they're trying their best for their team. I mean, Fowler got an opportunity to play last year. He couldn't hit much the first. I don't know if you guys remember, but he couldn't hit much the first half of the season. He just had a good second half to kind of compensate the first half. And then he starts this year by losing the center field job to Pham, which is a lot faster, and it covers a lot more ground than Fowler, which, it's all right. I mean, he moved to right field. Maybe he didn't like that. And then all of a sudden he got moved out of the first leadoff spot that he was supposed to be in. And maybe he didn't like that. And then all of a sudden he's not playing because he's not hitting. So maybe he didn't like that. So there's a few things right there for the fans to start thinking about what's going on. I mean, you can't, like I always say, you can't cover the sky with just putting your hand up. It's too big. I mean, you can't do that. So it's the same thing with Fowler. You can't hide him. You can't hide him. He haven't been able to hit. He haven't been able to cover ground in center. So that's why Pham was picked better over him. And he haven't been able to hit in a little spot, get on base or anything. How can you put a guy? I mean, he has no leverage. That's what I always say. I always tell everybody, if I were him, I'll be quiet. I'll try to fix this thing. I'll be quiet in the cage. I'll be busting my butt because I want to get out of it. Now, when I get out of it and I hit my whatever, and I start hitting consistently, then guess what? I'm gonna go to Mike and say, hey, Mike, man, I need my spot back, man. I'm on, man. I'm getting it. I'm hitting pretty good. I feel it. I need my spot back. But until that day comes, there's no way he has no leverage to talk about anything. He has to be quiet, kind of work his butt off, and try to get back to the Dexter Fowler, man. That's just the bottom line,
Well, and the thing is, See, rather than point a finger, I'm looking at the situation. And here's my thing. So we signed Dexter Fowler last year. We signed him because we have a need. We need a center fielder at the time, and we need a leadoff hitter, right? Or so we think.
Yeah, well, an ideal.
So we think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a quote-unquote prototypical leadoff hitter,
yeah.
Because while – fans cannot like it. The reality of it is Matt Carpenter's been one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball.
Absolutely.
Whether you cannot like the fact that he's not fast, okay, and that's fine. I'm not here to debate that. But the point is, at the plate, he's been one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball.
He gets on base.
Okay, he's one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball. That being said. So
he's not a factor in the bases. You're right.
Yeah.
He's not a factor in the bases. And that's what I don't understand, why they haven't gone to him and talk about or maybe they have, but I just haven't heard about it. But Karp is great, man, and he's doing great right now. He's on fire and all that, but he still needs to be a factor on the bases. He makes the plays at, on defense. I mean, I like that too. But the running part is a very important part. And I had a couple talks with a couple coaches, and they don't like how he runs the bases. And if you watch the games, it's going to come to a time where we're going to need a good base running to win a game. It might not be him, but if it's him, we're done. You know, like we're screw. But anyways, the hitting and the defense overcovers all that stuff. You know, he's doing great hitting. He's getting the RBIs. He's doing outstanding. I mean, that's what we were expecting. That's what we were waiting. Remember, we were right. Kept saying that we need this guy to start getting hot. This is what we were expecting and waiting for him. But well, right now we're expecting the same out of Fowler. We're expecting the same out of Wong. Get on base and see how much fun this team can have with the eighth hitter getting on base and hitting 250, 260, and then Fowler hitting 280 or something like that. You'll see how fun this team will go, you know? That's what we were expecting, you know?
Right, and the thing is, and this is the problem. This is why, listen, I'm going to say this a lot. This is why the Cardinals are a 500 team. They're a 500 team because the guy that runs the bases better from the leadoff spot doesn't get on base. The guy that doesn't run the bases well gets on base. So naturally, when they hit home runs, they're better because the guy that gets on base doesn't have to run the bases. So when you hit home runs, everything's going well. So when the guys behind the guy that gets on base don't drive the ball into the gaps and they don't hit the ball over the wall, we're not very good. So when Tommy Pham's not good and when Marcelo Zuna's not good, we aren't good. And then we take Jose Martinez out of the lineup because he can't play defense, so now we don't have anybody driving in the runs. So, again, this is why we are a 500 team. But to go back to the initial problem, I just said it. The guy that can run the bases, the guy that's a smart base runner, you know, and again, I'm not even going to get into the whole is he lazy debate. That whatever. Is he slow? Is he not trying? He's not slow. I don't find the guy to be lazy. Whatever. That's fine. If you think he is, whatever. Any long story short, he could help
he's
you
playing
on
hard.
Yeah, he could help you on the bases. That's it. Problem, he's got to get on base. That's
yeah,
problem.
He's playing hard, guys. Let's get that out of the way because fans are actually questioning his effort. When you are on the field and you get a fly ball, I bet you anything you're not letting it drop. If you can, you're not gonna let it drop. So you're hustling, man. And if you're on the base and you have to score from first base, a guy hit a gapper, you're not running because Matheny didn't put you on the leadoff spot. No, that doesn't happen that way. You're running because you're going to score a run, and that's what we do. We play baseball. So the effort, nobody should question any effort on any guy. Now, if it's too obvious, yeah, you can mention that. But I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Dex. And I've seen Dex play for a long time. I play against him, actually. But he that's the way he plays. But anyways, the problem with Dex right now is that he's not performing, you know, to what he's capable, and is making the Cardinals really tough decision. You really think that Mo wants to put anybody else than Dex out there? Is that why Mo signed him for 5 years? You think that? You really believe that as a fan, that they want to put somebody else out there? Hell no, they want to put Fowler out there. But guess what? He's not performing, so they got to find a guy that does it, you know? What happens to Jose Martinez on the opposite? Do you think they really want to put him at first? Do you really believe in your heart that Mo and Mike Matheny, or even Oquendo, do you really believe in their heart they want to put him at first? They might not want to put him at first, but guess what, buddy? He's hitting 300. He has 50-something RBIs, and he has 13 to 15 home runs, something like that. Are you kidding me? You're gonna put this guy to be a part-time player? I know. Nate got a little upset. Well, he can't catch the ball. Well, he can't catch the bad throws. He can catch the good throws. Who can catch the good throws? A Gold Glove? Is he a Gold Glove? I don't think so. So what are we talking about here? Oh, he can't bend down to catch a ball. Well, that's a bad throw. A ball in the dirt. Obviously, somebody else that played first maybe have a shot on catching it. But I've seen this even this weekend, guys. I've seen a lot of games where the first baseman drop or miss the short hops, which are the easiest ones to get. And I've seen him miss it. What the hell? And then you're going to get your best hitter out because he cannot get the bat throws? Come on, man. This is a joke, for real. So, but anyway, hopefully that doesn't happen. But that's another story, too. But Fowler, man, he just, if he starts performing, we won't have these conversations anymore. So we just need him to dig in and start doing what Carp did, you know, get out of the hole and start swinging it, man.
Well, the whole thing for me that I want to get into with you is I want to talk about a player. First thing, I want to talk about 2 points on this as soon as we get done here with the intro. I want to get, so just to give you some time on what I want to talk about, I want to talk about the situation. And that situation being for a player, I mean, I'm under the assumption that it making it to the big leagues is an unbelievable thing, right? You guys also know that everybody there can play and all this kind of stuff. At what juncture, though, does it become you're not owed anything, you still have to earn it? Because that's, to me, and this is where my issue is, this to me is not, look, I don't like you and we don't get along, so I'm moving you out of center field and I'm taking you out of the leadoff spot. This is, we have better options, and that's the way this works. So that's that.
You have to perform.
Right. So then that leads me to the back part of the question is, not that I'm looking for fault here, but this thing is almost kindergartenish to me. So I want to look at the whole relationship thing and a lot of the assumptions that come out as a result of this relationship. So we're going to talk about that. Right now, what I want to remind you is to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. That's the website. You can do multiple things there. First and foremost, subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. Get a notification each time the show comes out. You know, it helps for like when we're off for a holiday week, but we do a special edition and then we release it later in the week. You'll be like, oh, okay, there is something to pass some time here. So make sure you subscribe, absolutely free. You can also do your Amazon shopping, which lots of people are shopping at Amazon, obviously. The guy's a gazillionaire. But if you just go to twobirdsonabat.com, click the Amazon banner down to your right or all the way down on your mobile device, you can do your shopping or you're done with us. It doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral. Helps us keep Brian Crock and Andrew Allen, our producers, getting a paycheck every week for doing all the work behind the scenes, and we appreciate them very much. So, again, that's twobirdsonabat.com. Love the social media aspect of all this. It's a lot of fun. I had some great conversations over the weekend with people about various things. You know, I still am never going to understand why people take social media so personally, but whatever. Again, at Birds on a Bat Show is where you'll find us. Again, jump in the conversation. Love to chat. Facebook as well. Simply find us, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. This is where it gets interesting for you guys out there. If you're interested in the autographed Marcell Ozuna jersey, compliments of Benji, Yachty, and everybody over at m4byyachty.com. Josh, this is your baby. Why don't you tell the listeners how they can win the autographed Marcell Ozuna jersey?
Yeah, so it's quite simple. Just go over to Two Birds on a Bat, the Facebook page, and on the right-hand side, there's a communities. It says community, and it's one of those, just a category that lists all the people that like the show, and there's a spot where it says invite your friends. You just click on that. There's a select all button, kind of middle column, right side. And you just invite your friends. So every time you get a new like from your friends and they like the podcast, you can get another entry? Get one entry per friend. So if you have 100 friends that like the page, you got 100 entries in to win the Marcell Ozuna jersey.
And we did that so that, you know, maybe you're not a big Facebooker or maybe you are a big Facebooker. Either way, everybody has an opportunity to have all these entries.
One guy even messaged me and was like, hey, man, like I'm out of, I don't live in St. Louis. So
doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was like,
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Invite your friends to like the show. If they like the page, you're going to get the entry. So, yeah, I've been seeing some guys like, hey, man, I have 150 friends. I had another guy go, hey, look, man, I'm not on Facebook.
Yeah.
I've only got 10 friends. I said, yeah, but you got 10 entries for this jersey. He's like, man, that's cool. Doesn't cost me anything. No, absolutely not. He's like, cool, man. Yep. And so, anyway, it's a really great thing. I thought it was a great idea by you. Yeah. And, again, special thanks, Benji, of course, to you and your family and Yachty and all the gang at M4. And, of course, Marcel. For doing so, and it means a lot to us here as we try to promote the show. You can also find us on Instagram. That's Two Birds on a Bat Show. Find us there. Follow us. We'd appreciate it. And, you know, being part of the network at lineupmedia.fm, they do so much for our show as far as all the production, all the behind-the-scenes work, everything they do. Happy now to be a part of Yo Radio, the newest internet radio station. You can go to the App Store and download it. It's absolutely free. If you're into online stations and music, you're going to love it. They have all the decade music genres, different types, different stations and things like that. Is it Boathouse or Lake House, the one that everybody's talking about that they love? I can't remember which one it is on there, but everybody's really enjoying it. We're seeing a lot of great feedback on it. And again, won't be long, there'll be an actual just baseball channel that we're going to be a part of, and we're going to be really proud to be a part of that. So again, that's Yo Radio. Go download it from the App Store, absolutely free. Mark Marcuso, Arlington Greens. I've had some people say, hey, Jim, I hadn't been there in 10 years. You're right. The course is beautiful. I can't believe when we had that heat how good the course looked. I guarantee you it was great golf down there over the weekend when the weather kind of turned for us and gave us some bearable summer weather. Mark Marcuso and the gang down at Arlington Greens do a tremendous job. I recommend everybody get down there, check them out. Again, tell Mark Marcuso we said hi. Adam Smokehouse, did you see all the pictures, guys, of all the orders they had for July 4th, Jiminy Christmas?
Unreal.
But they do a great job over there. We've had so many of you guys contacting us going, great recommendation. We came in town for a card. That's the thing. A lot of our out-of-town people, you know, they do. I don't know, like, I think, Benji, I don't know what we've done, but I think we've made people think like we're the restaurant aficionados here in St. Louis. I don't know if that's a good thing, that maybe it feels like every time we're on social media we're eating somewhere. But a lot of people have taken our recommendations, and, you know, we did it last year with Emo's. And we had a lot of
the TV, though.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, we did it with Emo's. Now it's, you know, with Adam Smokehouse coming on board with the show. I mean, obviously, that's our man, that's our place, and we got a lot of people that are checking it out, and they're loving it. So, again, Adam Smokehouse, get down there. You know I'm going to recommend the ribs. Get down there and check them out, Adam Smokehouse. All right, gang. So let's get into this part of it, Benji, and this is where I find this whole thing becoming interesting. The first thing I want to do is I want to talk about how a guy loses his job, basically. Now, this one's interesting because he didn't lose his job as much as he just got changed. So last year, the Cardinals feel like they need a prototypical leadoff hitter, right? They've got this grandioso plan. Carp is ascending as a hitter. He's got power. He's got doubles power, big on base. Got all this stuff. We're going to move him to the three spot. We're going to put Dex. We're going to sign Dex. We're going to put him in the leadoff thing. Well, we go through what? I can't look back. It felt like a couple of months of trying this experiment.
It was 2 months.
And Dex wasn't getting on base as a leadoff hitter, and Carpenter wasn't doing much in the three hole. So basically, they moved Carpenter back to the leadoff spot. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Dex may have been dealing with a foot thing, maybe. But then when he came back, I believe we batted him third or fourth and maybe even fifth at times, and I believe he had a really nice run. Did he not, Josh? Are you looking at it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we do that. We also see throughout the course of the year that even though his defense wasn't there, they kept him in center field. Okay? So the new year comes along. Okay? Mo goes out and tells him that they want to move him to right field, which, again, you can look into this however you want to look into it. The fact that he continued to play center field last year when he wasn't very good and Tommy Pham was very good will tell you that when somebody signed, somebody said, hey, listen, you're going to be our center fielder. So the guy that told him that obviously wants to be a man and go out there and say, hey, look, we're going to move you. Okay? So they move him this year. But they put him back in the leadoff spot. They're going to try it again. And now they're going to try it because they went out and got Marcelo Ozuna to bat behind Carpenter, batting third. They got Tommy Pham, who had a great year. They're going to bat second. And they're going to try to get Dex going back in the leadoff spot. That's where we're at as we enter 2018. Well, again, for however long, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Okay? So the manager, being a manager, makes another change, and now we got a problem. So, I Benji, my part on this is first and foremost, I understand that guys have a track record. I understand that guys are veterans. I understand all of that. I get all that. You've said it enough times to make it feel like I'm getting hit over the head with a ball pin hammer, but the guy's got to perform. And who in their right mind doesn't think they don't want him to be who he is supposed to be? That is where I'm so confused with the anger over this. And if you're Dexter, how can you listen? And you're got it. And listen, we're really going to tap into you here and ask for your honesty. If you're Dexter, how can you respond the way he's responding to this? Because I'm telling you, I don't think he has a leg to stand on here.
I'm with you 100%. I was just going to say that. I was like, dude, if I'm Dexter and they gave me 5 freaking years, I'm well paid. We're not talking about chip change here. We're talking about really good pay money to a guy that we already talked, he's never hit over 280 in his career, 1 year. So, and he gets paid this much money. And you struggle the first year in the first half. I wonder how much he hit the second half, because I don't think he hit much. He just hit better, right? He hit better. I don't think he hit on the second half. Well, anyways, but he did better last year in the second half. All of a sudden, they still give you the shot because you're the veteran, right? The first half last year, you kept playing. They didn't get you out of there. They kept playing you. Then the second half, you got better. This year, they did the same. They did the same. The first half wasn't good for you, buddy. So guess what? They need to move on. They need to do something with the team. They cannot have you struggling that much because they need to win games. It's very simple. I don't see why Dexter has to be so pissed off. If you were hitting good, and then they move you. See, if I was Jose Martinez, I would be pissed off if they moved me to a part-time job. If I was Munoz, and I know we got DeJohn, but you have a second base open there that Wong is there. I know he plays great defense, but if you're going with the offense and all of a sudden they sit you down, I mean, I can see that because they're performing, right? They're doing their jobs. They're hitting. They're getting on base and stuff. But Fowler has no leverage. I always say that word because I think it's the right one. I'm not sure if I'm using it right, but he has nothing to lean on. What is he going to call to Mo and say, hey, Mo, I got to play, man. Come on, you got to play me. Hey, Mike, I got to be in the Lito spot. And Mike's going to say, oh, okay, Dex, but why you should be in the Lito spot? You're hitting so and so and so. I mean, we need somebody that's hitting. He has no way to say anything, man. He has to be quiet, like I always been saying. He has just to be quiet and try to get out of this one. Try to get out of the hitting slump and try to get out and try to do whatever they put you in, try to do your best so you can get your position back. Not because you're a freaking veteran, they need to give you the position. That doesn't work that way, buddy. Especially when I was playing. That's the only way I can talk. I can talk from when I was playing, when my era. You wouldn't play. You would not play. If you were that guy that couldn't hit, you were a guy from the bench. That's just bottom line. It's not a secret. It's not some secret. If Dexter Fowler is not hitting, he's going to be in the bench because that's what we got him for. So if I were him, I would be happy that they gave me 5 years very well paid. That's the first thing. And then I'll work my butt off to get out of the freaking slump. That's what I would do. And I'll play whenever they want me to because I have no leverage. I have nothing to say. I got to play. Why do you have to play? Because you have 8 years in the big leagues. That doesn't work, buddy. So 8 years or not, you're not doing your job. You're not getting on base. You're not hitting, things like that. So I don't see. I'm with you, man, 100%. I don't see any leverage. I don't see anything that he could say that he needs to play. That's all.
Okay, so let's go to the relationship piece of this. So there's a couple parts of this that I'm curious about that I'm really, really, really interested to hear what you're going to say to this. And if at any time you say, Jim, I'm not comfortable talking about this, just say, Jim, I'm not comfortable talking about this. So number one, so this, and again, I don't care. I put this tweet out there last week, okay, and I've said this 100 times over. I don't care what side of the Fire Matheny fence you fall on. You can hate the man. You can think he's awful. You can think he's great. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I don't care. It's irrelevant right now. But the bottom line is, so let me get this straight is what I'm saying. So the guy, okay, the guy that doesn't get along with him, right? The guy that doesn't want to communicate with him kept running him out there, though. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, he kept running him last year.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me.
And he kept running him this year.
So that makes no sense to me.
Because a lot of people think that he didn't play.
Yeah.
A lot of people thinking, oh, yeah, he's been benched. Hell no, he's been benched lately.
He's got the fifth most at-bats on the team. So my thing is, so let me get this straight. So Mike don't like him. But yet he keeps playing him? And supposedly, Mike only plays his favorites, right? See, this is my point about the Matheny bashers. And again, I don't care. Bash away. Everybody thinks I love the guy. I could care less. They could fire him tomorrow. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Fire Mabry. Fire Matheny. Fire Mo. I don't care. Okay? It's like my car. If I don't like the color of the car, I go paint it. But guess what? What's under the hood is still there. Okay? So, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Fire them all. I don't care. But supposedly, this guy, okay, he plays his favorites. Okay? He obviously doesn't like Dex, but he plays him. So, I thought he only played his favorites. Look at yourself out there in social media. We got the same crew a couple years ago that said Grichuk was his boy, and then he wasn't his boy. And then Wong wasn't his boy, and then he is his boy. And, I mean, it's the same thing. Bottom line is we are trying to point blame everywhere but where it belongs. Now, you can blame Mike for whatever. I don't care about that. But my point in this whole conversation for this discussion is this. So the guy that everybody wants – see, this is what kills me. This is – and again, no disrespect, but this is the way society's turning. We're pointing fingers everywhere but where it needs to be pointed. We're trying to find an excuse to why – I knew this was going to happen too. The minute this came out, and what's funny is, and again, we've known about this for a long time, but we've never said anything, okay? I knew when this came out, and eventually it would, because this is going to hit a boiling point, that it was going to somehow be Mike's fault. Because everybody wants it to be Mike's fault, okay? He doesn't communicate. So here, I'm going to take this all the way. So I can't tell you the number of tweets, Facebook posts, comments, everything I saw that said, well, it's obvious Mike doesn't communicate well in the clubhouse. Because, and then it turned into, well, how many guys do you think don't like him? And that's the whole problem. Yachty doesn't like him. Yachty hates him. Benji, does Yachty hate Mike?
No, nobody there. Nobody there. So the fans that are thinking that the players hate Mike, you better get that out of your head. Do they think he's smart manager or something? Maybe some don't, maybe some do, but hate him? No, Mike is a nice guy. The problem with players these days is that they believe they're owed something. They believe that the organizations owe something. They got to be careful with that because that's what the players that are the younger generation is going to be thinking. They get half a good year, and they have their agents going all crazy. Oh, we need to sign him for $300 million and things like that, and the players believe it. So when you sign a player for this contract that Dexter is involved, you want your money worth. If I'm the wit and I'm spending $80 million or something, $70 million for
Dexter Fowler for 5 years. 85, I think it was.
Yeah, 85. I'm gonna go to Mo and say, "Hey, Mo, what the hell's going on?" Or Gersh, you know, Gersh. I'm gonna say, "Hey, Gersh, what's going on, man? $85 million to this guy, and he's not performing. Come on, let's go. I mean, that's my money. I own an organization, and I pay Yadi $20 million, and I'm gonna be, hey Yadi, Mo, what's going on with Yadi? Come on, let's go. We gotta get him. And I pay so-and-so some kind of money. Ozuna's coming up to get paid. Things like that. Hey, Carpenter's getting big money. Don't you think they were worried about him? Sure, when they pay the money, it's because they believe in these kids. So nobody hates anybody there. Maybe Fowler because of the playing time. Maybe Fowler don't like Mike so much because of he's not playing as much how he wants it, right? He wants it. That's what I'm trying to say about this generation. They're coming. They think everybody's owed something because they pay you some kind of money. They think they owe you something, and it's not like that. You have to perform. Go talk to Larry Boa. Go talk to Rod Carew, and ask them the same question you just did me, and see what they have to say. I'm being nice, but these guys would not be nice, buddy. These guys would tell you how it is, and how it is just straight up, buddy. Straight up. You have to perform, especially when they give you a contract. That's when you have to perform more because you're being paid for that. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. If Fowler is mad or doing some, pissed off or something about what's going on, man, he has no leverage. He can't argue anything about what is he going to say. Hey, Mike, I need to play because I'm hitting 180. That's not what he's going to say. So, I mean, like I said, he needs to just be quiet, hustle the whole time, try to get himself out of the whole mess, try to go work out in the cage and make this thing happen, man. That's what he needs to do now.
I would say, if anything, Mike's proven over the years that he actually is going to give a veteran the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's what he did with Dexter. Yeah, and I think that's what he did with Dex. And then after a while, you can't ignore – I mean, again, people can pick apart Harrison Bader, okay? But what you can't pick apart is what he does do. And, some people, oh, well, he can't do this and he can't – see, that's the society we live in now, is every time somebody's doing well at something, we start diving into things, we start talking about what they don't do or they don't do well, okay? The bottom line is – this is what irritates me, and this is what irritates people sometimes about analytics. I don't really give a shit, okay? You're not going to tell me that Harrison Bader right now is not the better option than Dexter Fowler. You're not going to tell me that. You can show me all kinds of underlying numbers. You're not going to tell me that.
It could be the better option than Famine Center.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's the best. He's the best outfielder you got right now, whether you like to admit that or
not. I will put him in center field, and I see the game from the top. You saw me where I am.
Yep.
I see the game from the top, right in the middle of the field, and I see how Fam gets the routes, and I see how Fam gets the late jumps and all these kind of things that you need to have in the center field. But I also see how great of a first step Bader gets. I mean, Bader gets the first step better than anybody out there. So.
Willie McGee, I think, told us this from day one. He's like, I've watched this guy in the minors when I was roving, and he's going to be a Gold Glove caliber outfielder. I mean, that's what he is, and not everybody is that. So good for him. And, you know, he's helping out. He's performing. He's playing hard. Let's face it, when things aren't going well, you will revert always – this town for sure will always revert back to how hard do you play. You're not going to argue how hard Harrison Bader plays. Nobody argues how hard, like Tommy Pham's really struggling, okay? But nobody, you know, he comes out and he's a little abrasive and he's a little rough to the media and he says some things. So now everybody writes that as, boy, he really cares. Well, he cares because he gave us something that most players don't do, and he sticks it out there and he says some things. But I think what he's getting now is a little bit of humble pie, which is a reality, that this game is going to give you some humble pie. Have you ever felt like the game gave you some humble pie, Benji?
Many times. Many times. I thought I had the game grabbed by the horns, and no, it wasn't that way, man. A game will push you back, but you know, my worst year, Jimbo, in offense, because I thank God that I had great years in defense all the time. You know, my bad year in defense was in Toronto when I only played like 80-some games catching. That was because I couldn't get in the rhythm, but that was my worst year in catching. And I had to catch A.J. Burnett and Roy Holiday and Ted Lilly and Chassin and all these kids that made it easy for me anyways. But that was my worst year catching. But my worst year of hitting was in 2002 when I hit 245 and we won the World Series. I mean, that was my worst year. So I didn't have any – I never had a year where I was really, really struggling. My years were like 270 to 280, and I knew that. Then at the end of my career, I started hitting 290s and close to 300, and more home runs and more RBIs because I knew what I was doing. And before those years, Mike Socha told me, I need you to catch. I don't care about your hitting. I need you to do the hit and runs, and I need you to get the guy over. That's all I need you from you. So I concentrate on doing those things. So, but later on, when I got to Toronto, before Toronto, in Anaheim, I had Blatty, I had Garrett Anderson, I had all those guys hitting, and they're like, "Come on, Bimo, you got to hit." And I'm an eighth hitter, buddy. You guys worry about the hitting. I got to worry about my catching. But then I went to Toronto. That's when I took off and started not took off because my numbers were kind of the same, but. But I really did better in RBIs and all that. But then I got to San Francisco, and I was hitting behind Barry Bonds. And then Barry Bonds left. And for 2 years, I was the cleanup hitter. Do you think I didn't feel pressure to perform? Shoot, man, we all do as a player. We all feel the pressure. And I did. And I did perform. But I never had a chance to go through what Dexter and Carp and Wong are going through, you know, like that one something for half, you know, and that's really very uncomfortable. I don't know what I would be doing if I did that, but they know what they're going through right now. And it's really tough, but those guys have nothing to say to Mike to make him play them because Mike cannot play them. If they're hitting that way, it's how do you expect me to go on Mike and say, "Hey, Mike, I need to play, buddy. I need more at-bats." And Mike would be like, "Okay, buddy, but you're hitting 180. And the other guy's hitting 260, 270. I mean, that's obvious who's going to play. No, I need to play because I'm the veteran." And that doesn't work that way. So the veterans, like I said, he's being paid really good money. Just go out there and keep battling your butt whenever you play. Whenever you don't, go to the cage, try to get this thing solved, and maybe you'll be back at the end of the year. Maybe you are a hot guy at the end of the year for two more months. You'll be the hot guy, and you'll be in the leadoff spot. Carp will be crushing the ball third, hitting third, and things like that. You never know, but for now, he has nothing to say right now.
So I guess my follow-up to this is then, and I know Josh has got something for you, but before I wanted to follow up. So I know that fans, I'm the same way. Like listen, I will lump myself in with the fan that wants
emotion. Well, actually, Jimbo, my humble player was in Toronto when I thought I was going to go there to play, and then I didn't end up playing the way I was playing three games and sit down three. Sometimes I sit down 5 days. But when I played fourth batter and fifth batter. How do you explain me that one?
Yeah, and you had a nice season. You had a really good season in Toronto. So my question would be this then, I lump myself in with this, I say this, I'm that fan too. I love emotion. I understand why we don't get it 90% of the time from players. The more I get involved in the game of baseball, from a training and all that kind of stuff, I've learned over years that it's really more, it's a mental thing. It's where you live. You try to live very even, very calm. You try to take emotion out of it. But we as fans like emotion, right? We like it. And when things are going well and there's emotion, we're, yeah, right? Like we want it. And then we take it to the other extreme. I've said for years, and everybody that knows me knows it, like I said, when I wanted J.D. Drew one time to throw his helmet and yell an F-bomb. I wanted him one time to do it, right? I wanted Matt Holliday one time to yell the F-word and throw something, okay? That's what I wanted. I wanted it because it looked to me like they didn't give a shit. But now that I'm older and understand the game way better than I did when I in my 20s, I understand why they don't do that. I also understand why those guys typically have nice, long careers, because they understand how you know. And again, I had a great conversation with Jim Edmonds about this. And talk about a guy that made highlight reels. And, you know, he'll tell you some, like, looking back on his career, he very rarely showed emotion. But when he did, he's like, you know, it's almost uncontrollable emotion. But so to take this full circle with the whole humble pie thing, while we as fans may enjoy Tommy Pham when he comes out and he drops some F-bombs and I'm this and I'm that and screw these guys and I'm anti-establishment and I'm going to show them and I'm the best MF-er here and da-da-da-da-da, and everybody loves that because we need more of that, right? That's what we need. That's what I hear all the time. We need more guys like Tommy Pham. My assumption would be, what he's going through right now is 100% why guys don't do that.
Yes, that's exactly why you don't open your mouth. It's not because it's bad or good. We can see it that way. If you want to see it that way as a fan, it's all right. But I don't see it that way as a player. And you don't have to open your mouth. You just let the work do the talking, like we always told these guys. You know, go out there and perform, man. You can talk all you want, but then when you talk, you have to do double. We always said it since the minor league, since the rookie ball. I always was told, you be quiet and you can survive with half of the job you have to do, or you could be a big mouth and say something, and then you have to perform double because you got to cover up your big mouth. You know what I'm saying? So we were told that, and they said, hey, just be quiet. And you know how good Pham would be looking right now if he wouldn't say all the things he said? He would be looking good. I mean, nobody would be thinking about him anyway. Everybody would be thinking of him that, like, what he is, a hustler, a guy that just be quiet and go out there and perform, something like that. But they would never know. Now they're like, okay, where's your 330, buddy? Okay, where's your 30-plus home runs? Where's your... Which he can do. I'm not saying he can. I'm just saying that the people are going to ask for that, right? Because he opened his mouth that way. So now people will be like, okay, where's this? Where's that? Where's the stone base? Where's doing this? They're going to ask for it. But if you're a quiet guy, I always believe in being quiet and doing my job. That's what Yadi does. That's what Jimmy Edmund did. That's what all those guys, they were quiet. Ozzie Smith was very quiet on the field. But he performed every single day, man. Obviously, we're talking about Hall of Famers. I don't know if Pham is going to be a Hall of Famer. That's not fair to him. But that's what I'm saying. Like, this kid these days, they think they owe something, that we owe something to them as an organization. And believe me, let me tell you this, guys. When you got Jimmy Edmonds, do you think if Jimmy Edmonds in St. Louis didn't perform, do you think that he would have played? Do you really believe that Tony La Russa would have played this guy if he wasn't hitting? He wouldn't even touch his heart one bit out there, and he would have changed him. But not because he's a veteran he was going to play. No, Jimmy Edmund played the way he could to show the organization, I need to play. You see the difference there? He didn't sit on his veteran issue, you know, his veteran name to say, oh, I'm going to play. It doesn't matter. No, he performed. He performed and made their job easier and said, you got to play me, buddy. I don't give a crap what you do now, but you got to play me because look at how I'm doing it. Look at how I'm hitting. I'm driving all the runs here. I'm doing all the. It's like Jose Martinez right now. The only problem with Jose is he's having trouble with the bat throws at first base. So they all wanted to get him out. Oh, he's not a first baseman. Yeah, he's not a first baseman. We all know that. But at least be happy with what he's doing. 50-something RBIs on a team that has trouble hitting, and you're trying to fire the hitting coach? You're trying to fire the hitting coach for 3 years, and you get a guy that has 51 RBIs by the half, by the All-Star break. He has 15 home runs or 14, 13, whatever it is, and he has 50-something RBIs and 300 batting average, and you're trying to get him out because he cannot catch the bat throws? come on, man, get the heck out of here. Let's play ball, man. Let's play ball. Let's get the heck out of here and play ball. I tell you what, man, if he couldn't catch the normal throws, I'd be concerned. But the picking and stuff like that are hard. Yeah, he looked like it because he makes it look awkward. He makes it look awkward at first. But those are not easy throws. That doesn't make it easy throws. Some of them could be, but not all of them, man. I've watched almost every single freaking game. You're not going to tell me I played the game. I don't know everything, but I play the game. I know what takes hard throws. I know what takes easy throws. And sometimes the throws are offline, and people don't see, oh, he should have cashed that. Well, let's back up a little, buddy. Rewind it. That guy should have thrown a better throw to first base. That's the first thing. Now, he could have catch it? Okay. But that's after the bad throw. So let's not be idiots here. Let's not be guys that don't understand anything. And how the heck are you going to get that guy? You're trying to fire a hitting coach for 3 years. You're trying to fire, oh, we don't score. We don't have any offense. The offense sucks. That's what you hear in Twitter. Oh, our offense stinks. They suck. They don't score any runs. And then you're trying to bench your freaking 51 RBI guy and the 15 home runs, whatever he has, and 300 hitter. Get the heck out of here, man. I'm getting so tired of that stuff.
Well, so I've been just sitting back and kind of listening to this all and taking it in, and I came up with a question. And
should there be like a mantra? Like
I don't even want to really ask it because I feel like we could have another episode after this about it. But what the hell have we learned about Dexter Fowler in the last, you know, this year? This year, what have we learned about him? Okay, so we know about him. We know him as a player, as a person on Twitter and outside of the ballpark. Yeah. But what kind of person is he inside the ballpark?
See, I'm glad you asked that question because that's actually where I was going to go next. That's a good question because, you know, when they went through the stuff on Twitter, I had kind of come out and said, listen, if you who the guy is away from the ballpark or anything like that, to me, you know, it's obvious Dex uses his status to help people. He seems like a great guy. You know, he seems like a fun-loving guy. I would have a hard time believing anybody in the clubhouse probably doesn't like Dex, okay? But I'm going to say this, and I don't know this for sure, but my answer is, and then I'll let Benji go as far with it as he wants to go, I'm going to have a hard time believing that he's a team-first guy.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't – now, I also understand, okay, that – how do I put this? And again, I'll defer to Benji on this too. Do we have less and less team guys in the game these days? Has it become selfish because of the money? Has it become selfish because that's the way it is? I don't know the answer to that question, but – You can come up with every...
Well, Whitey Herzog answered you that question. Remember what Whitey said that you said to us? How can I get to pay a guy that moved the guy over, doesn't even get paid, and the guy who drive the guy in from third, after that guy move him over to third, he gets paid because he gets the RBIs and stuff. How do I get these guys to go out and sacrifice their at-bats? How do I get a guy to bunt them over when these guys are not even going to get paid for that?
I can't remember the agent.
Remember
Yeah, and I can't remember the agent it was or the GM. It was one of the two that came out not too long ago and said, get used to the game the way it is because until we start finding a way to compensate monetarily guys that move runners over, that don't strike out, that are willing to give themselves up, that are willing to move, that until we find a way to monetarily compensate these guys, these things that we have now focused on will not change. They are not going to change.
I wonder how much money Joey Gallo is going to make. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that guy. I'm waiting to see how much money he's worth out there, how much money are the GMs are going to pay the guy who hits almost 50 home runs, 80 or 90 RBIs, I'm not sure, or 100 could be, but then he hits 190. I want to see how much money those guys are worth. And if you pay that guy big bucks, oh, man, bye-bye baseball. Baseball.
I'm worried about that, too.
Well, and again, so now back to...
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah. So to Josh's question... And again, I don't, I, I don't know Dax. Don't know him personally. Never had a chance to meet him or talk to him.
Right now he's not a happy camper. So let's get that out of the way. He's not a happy camper. He's not gonna be a team player. He's not gonna be a team guy in the clubhouse. But it's not because that's him. It's because he's in a way he's mad at the organization because what they in his mind. Okay, not my mind. In his mind, he should have been a leadoff guy still, and he should have been given more opportunity, and he should have been a center fielder. So by him not getting what he wants, he's not going to be a team guy. That's just how it is. Let's get that out of the way, because that's just the truth.
Well,
so he's not a good teammate right now. He's really mad, and he's not a good teammate right now. He's worried about what he got to do. But I bet you anything, when he's hitting, when he's playing every day, when he's hitting and getting RBIs, getting on base, stealing bases, he's one of the best teammates ever because I seen him. He's a cool dude, you know. But right now, he's pissed off at the world because he's not playing. He's not a leadoff guy, and he wants to be. So he might not be a good guy right now.
Again, though, like, so what have we learned about Fowler? That's my point. Like, when you're doing bad and you're doing awful, really, you're going to sit there and pout and be pissy moany around the clubhouse? Like, that's what I don't understand is that's why I'm like, yeah, I really don't like Fowler personally. I didn't like the signing, but now I really just don't even like the player because he can't even be a good clubhouse guy.
You couldn't be that way.
Well, he can't even be a good clubhouse guy. When he's doing bad, like, I'm sorry, but he's a veteran presence. He's supposed to be a leader. Yeah. He's supposed to be all these guys. Like, I don't care if you don't talk to Bader because he stole your position. Like, I think that would be silly anyways. But I'm saying, like, talk to these guys. Like,
well,
show them some kind of – not even advice,
I would be shocked if that's the case. Like, knowing, like, who I think Dexter Fowler is, judging by how I see him in public – I think all ball players get that. Like, I would doubt, and I'll defer to Benji on this, I would doubt that there's animosity between Dex and the guy that's playing in front of him. Dex's unhappiness is going to be all pointed at everybody above him, starting with the manager, going up to the GM.
Yeah, the organization, man. That's what it is. The players, he doesn't hate the players, and he doesn't hate Bader, or he doesn't hate whoever takes his spot. He's not hating on that. He's hating on the guys that don't give him a shot in his mind to play the game, to be a leadoff guy, to be a center fielder. That's why he's hating on maybe. Maybe he's not liking that, but I'm with Josh. You have to be a teammate, man. If you want to make this thing work, and I bet you anything, he was a great teammate when he was winning with the Cubs. He was an awesome teammate. He was playing. He was doing good. He was doing everything that he could to help out the team, so he was a great teammate. But when you're struggling and when you're in bad hands, like you're not hitting well, you're being benched and all that stuff, that's when you show your teammates. That's when you show your teammates what kind of person you are, man. When I was going 0-4, I was the first guy on the steps in the dugout cheering for the other guys just to get the hit so we can win this freaking game. I was that guy. And it didn't take much for me to get up there on the first step and cheering my freaking guys because I wanted to win. And I was 0-4 with 2 strikeouts and whatever you want to call it. I left on base, six guys on base, base it loaded twice when I struck out twice. And I was the first freaking guy in the 8th inning or 9th inning trying to close the game, trying to cheer on my guys and say, hey, come on, Bader, let's freaking go, man. We can win this game here with the hit. Come on, buddy. Stay within yourself. Contact, you know, anything just to help him, make him feel good at the plate so we can win this freaking game. That's a good teammate. That's a guy that's a good teammate. The guy who don't care about the awful force and whatever, and they get out in their chest and go out there and say, hey, we're here to win for the St. Louis Cardinals. We're not here to please anybody. We're not here to please whoever player you want. We're not here to police that. We're here to win for the city of St. Louis. That's what they need to understand.
Yeah, and I want to clarify. I didn't mean like, oh, Fowler hates Bader or hates any team.
Yeah, I know.
I get. I know. Like that. That's not what I was trying to say. But like, that's what.
And he does.
No, and I would not even know. Yeah, I know that's not what is going on, but it's just, yeah, like the type of player he is, whether he's good or bad. I don't know. I mean, have you guys seen Moneyball where the guy, Billy Beane, goes in and talks to David Justice and goes, let's really think about what we're worried about here. You know, I want to suck the last ounce of baseball out of you, and I just want you to basically be my veteran presence. Like, that's all I'm asking in return. Like, we paid you the money. Just give me the veteran presence in return, whether it's at-bats or helping out players. And that's where I
– You know –
You see Adam Wainwright? You see Adam Wainwright in the dugout?
Hang on. I agree with you. I think the issue here is, how old's Dexter Fowler? Dexter Fowler is not, in his mind, for sure, and this is at the end of his rope. He's not like, okay, I might have another year left in this game, so I'm going to be that. Now I think you're not comparing you're comparing apples and oranges. A little bit different. Because to the point, and I think you made this good earlier, to the point, that is the problem. Dexter Fowler thinks he's a guy that signed a 5-year contract and is a dude, and he should be treated like a dude.
Would you see his comment about, like, what did he say? He said something along the lines of, like, well, I'm a big part of this team and stuff like that. Like,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you could be, but you're not. So, well, how about
not right now?
Like, I don't know.
Right, that's what I meant.
I thought of that in a different aspect, those comments, whenever I was like, you know what, that just sounds like a guy that is about himself. He's not focused on the team winning. He's worried about him winning on the field, at bat, you know.
I'll finish with this.
But he still wants to perform for the guys, though.
Sure.
That's not a question.
Obviously, the guy got paid a lot of money, and believe me, I've been there. And when I first contract that I got, it didn't make my life easier. It actually made it harder because I felt like they pay me this money to perform. Now I have to perform. Now those 70 RBIs have to be on every year basis or better. Now my 12 home runs have to be in the 15, 16. Now my 240, 260, 270 average has to be there every single year because I got paid. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you, guys, any old school guy has never felt like they are owed something. Now, if you perform like I've seen sometimes, and you don't get paid for it or they sent you down and you're performing, yeah, you feel like you're being owed something because you did the job. But if you're not doing the job, nobody feels like they owe them something, man. They play every single – ask Ossie Smith. We had this conversation. Ossie Smith, the great Ossie, the great – the wizard, you know, the great whatever you want to call him, Hall of Famer. And he said it. He played every single day with a chip on his shoulder, every day, because he saw the contract he had and he needed to perform. And then after he performed, nobody could say anything. Nobody. Because he said, I got to perform because they're paying me some big money. I have to perform. And this is not $100 million either. You can imagine the pressure that J.D. Martinez is feeling right now after his contract, or the pressure that Bryce Harper is going to feel when he signs a big deal, even though he's not hitting for average. He's still going to have that pressure.
Or Manny Machado.
Or Manny Machado, exactly. Those guys, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work like they're, I got paid, so I'm going to think about vacation all year. No, buddy, that doesn't work that way, man. They are worried about what they do. The Fowler's the same way, probably. He thinks, okay, I got paid, I got to perform now, but he's not doing it. That's when the whole thing starts happening. But all these guys that get paid, they worry about their job. They worry. Like Carpenter, I bet you anything he feels it. I bet you anything he felt it in the beginning, like, oh, shoot, I'm getting paid so-and-so money, man. I better do something, man. I better help and start hitting and da-da-da-da-da. I bet you anything they did the same, man. That's just the nature of the game. But baseball does not owe you anything. You just have to go out there and get it. You have to go out there, be better, and perform. That's it.
All right, to wrap this up, the one thing I'm gonna put you on the spot. So, would you be comfortable in saying that outside of Dex, are there any other problems that you're aware of between player and manager in a clubhouse?
No, there's not one problem, man. This group, and Yadi said it to me at the beginning of spring training, even when Dexter was in spring training. He said, this is the best group of guys, man. This is a good group of guys, one of the best that we have lately. They get along with each other. They know what they're doing. They know what their thing is. There's some guys that are very serious, and it's because they're not performing. Like, Pham is a very serious guy, but why do you think Pham is serious? Because Pham wants his numbers. Pham wants his RBIs. Pham wants to do what he said he was going to do, and he's not doing it, right? He's struggling. So that's why you see the guys being mad and upset. And then why you think Fowler is a little upset? He's a little upset because he's not playing, and he wanted to play, and he's not doing well either. So, I mean, those things happen in a year, man, and some of the bullpen guys might not be really happy with him because – They only pitch when they're losing, and they want to pitch when they're winning. Things like that happens, man, but it doesn't mean the clubhouse is messed up. Nobody has a problem there. I bet you anything Fowler is probably not happy, but at the same time, Fowler is okay in the clubhouse. Everybody likes the guy, you know? So it's okay, man. Seriously, in the clubhouse, there's no big deals over there. That we just need to perform. That's what we need to do as a team, perform.
Have you yourself been in a clubhouse where maybe the manager and a player just didn't see eye to eye and just didn't talk and coexisted? You don't have to say any names, but, you know, I mean, you were in the league for 13 years. I have a hard time believing that there weren't situations in clubhouses where manager and player just didn't see eye to eye.
Oh, I can name you a bunch. Bunch of names right now that didn't get along with the manager, but it was because of the same thing. They thought that they needed to play, and they were not performing. So the manager chose Harrison Bader over Fowler, and this is an example. But a manager chose those guys, so of course he's gonna have the guys being pissed off. Then I got to Toronto, and half of that team didn't like the manager. You know, so half of the Toronto Blue Jays team in 2006 didn't like the manager. So, I mean, I saw that one hand. They even have a fight inside. The manager had like three fights in that year. Fist fights, okay? Not fight verbally. Fist fight with the players. And that was only one year when I had in Anaheim, not even one fist fight. They were all arguments. This guy, as a manager, had already three fist fights in one year. I mean, you tell me if they liked him or not. And then I went to San Francisco, never saw a fist fight. I saw verbally guys talking and stuff, but no big deals. I never seen that. I mean, but it happens. It's there. We all know it. We all know that it happens, man. It's right there. Not everybody is going to be happy with their roles. And when you have guys that are happy with their roles, like they understand what their role is, you have guys going to the playoffs and you have guys going to the World Series, buddy. That's how it is.
I guess the only thing, I won't ask you to speak for anybody else, but again, I touched on this earlier. Just, you know, a final thought on the example of how they may not always see eye to eye, but it doesn't, that it's a flare-up or just a disagreement. I don't know that it has anything to do with the permanent relationship. A lot of people have brought up, you know, because let's face it, people that want to be mad at Mike, they struggle a little bit with Dex because they don't have a leg to stand on because Dex hasn't performed. Your brother is a Hall of Fame catcher that is an icon in a Cardinal uniform, and, you know, he had a little flare-up with Mike last year over a comment. I mean,
you have to be careful what you say in the media, not because it's Yadi. It's just because we are human beings. I don't want anybody saying anything, you know, to hurt my whatever in the media, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about Yadi. I'm talking about anybody. I'm talking about Carp. I'm talking about guys that play for you and live their heart out there every single day, you know. I'm talking about guys like Jimmy Edmund, or guys like Ozzie Smith, do you want to make a comment in the media that gets Ozzie Smith pissed off at you? Hell no, you don't want to do that. And maybe Mike didn't mean it that way, but you see how careful you have to be, because one guy could take it the wrong way, and here we go. You'll have a turnaround team. So that's why you have to be really careful these days. I bet you anything. Do you think Billy Martin was liked by the Yankees? No, but everybody performed to their capabilities. Everybody wanted to perform for him. Everybody, because they wanted to win for the Yankees. They didn't care who was there. I mean, they might like the guy. They might like Billy Martin, some guys, but other guys had a lot of fights with him because he was a hard-nosed guy. But they didn't care. They still went out there and win championships and win games for him. So that's the same thing here. You don't have to like the manager as a player, but you have to go out there and perform. I bet you anything, the manager is not going to be asked the question, hey, why are you hitting 170, buddy? He's not have to answer that question. It's you. You know what I'm saying? Why are you hitting 170 when you're a 280 hitter? The manager doesn't have to answer that question. It's the guy who's playing. And that's what I mean by that. You know, like, they're the one who needs to play. They're the one who needs to perform, even if it's Mike, even if it's not Mike, even if it's Francona, Joe Madden, doesn't matter. They're the one. And if you talk to Joe Madden, like I have, and in this recent year, he said, Bimo, I'm as good as my players make me. So don't, a lot of people can tell me anything that I'm good or bad or horrible. No, I'm as good. And he always say, I'm as good as my players make me. That's his answer to me.
Would you care, like, I mean, you and I have talked about this. I'm trying to think of how I would want to phrase this so that, because I know you try to always just speak for yourself and not overstep boundaries, but I would assume your brother, how do I say it? Your brother thinks a lot of Mike. I know that.
He respects him.
Yeah, he doesn't have a problem with him, even though they did have the flare-up last year. It was what it was. What would you say to the people that think that Mike has numerous problems with numerous guys in the clubhouse and can't communicate?
Mike doesn't have that problem. That's what the media probably put in their heads. That's what the everybody's trying to make it sound like. I don't know why. I was there as a coach with him. Never had a problem with Mike. Mike is a really nice guy. I hope people understand that. They might not be the smartest manager ever or anything like that, but that's not our problem. That's for the organization to notice that. It's not for the players. The players are there to play. The manager is there to manage. So if the manager cannot manage a team, that's not the players to say. You cannot go to Mike and say, hey, Mike, I don't like that hit and run, buddy. That wasn't supposed to be that way. You know, things like that. It cannot do it. It's the organization who needs to do that. But the organization also could go to the player and say that. But get that thought out of your mind that Mike cannot communicate with the players and Mike cannot do this with the players. He's not a player's coach. And I mean, come on, man. Mike is as nice as it comes in relationship with the players. As nice as it comes. I wonder what they thought about Tony La Russa and Whitey Herzog, because they were hardcore. Now, you're talking about guys like Tony La Russa, Whitey Herzog, Bobby Cox. I mean, we are talking about hardcore nose guys. How about Lou Piniella?
I mean, one of my favorites.
Man, those guys are hard to deal with. But Mike? Come on, man. Get that thought out of your guys' head. I mean, I'm talking about the guys who think about Mike that way. Just get that thought out of the way, because it ain't happening. That Mike is really a nice guy.
So I'll let you go as far with this one as you want to go, because you are in the locker room, and obviously you know things that no matter what anybody says, you know more than the media about this type of stuff, for sure. There's a lot of people that think he's not, like, he doesn't care, or he's not competitive behind close, you know, because of
who's not competitive?
Mike. People say,
Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, they act like he doesn't care. Because, and here's why. And this
really?
Yes. And here's where I'm going with this. And here's why. Because he stands up in front of a camera after the game and he doesn't give them what they want. You know what I mean?
What do you want him to do, though? Do you want him to throw your guys that are battling for your name? What did I just say about Madden? What did he say? I'm as good as my players play over there. I'm as good a manager as my players perform. That's how good I'm a manager I am. And you're going to go after a freaking game and sit there and say, oh, yeah, Yadi didn't run the base. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Oh, Carp, man, he sucks at thirst today. He did this wrong. Do you want him to do that? Is that what they want? Because I don't see it. I mean, the manager is there to protect their players, to know and tell them, I'm with you. I am with you. You know, I'm here with you. We're trying to win a World Series with you. I'm here with you. I'm trying to get you better. I'm trying to get the at-bats for you so you can be better. I'm trying to make a play so you can be better. I'm here to put you in a lineup where the lefty against righties and all that stuff. I'm here with you. And you think he's going to go to the podium and say, well, Wainwright for sure didn't have the fastball today or a curveball. He was nothing today. No. No, you're never going to hear a manager do that. You will never hear that. Manager might not even be thinking that either.
As a player, of all the things, is that the one thing that would piss you off is if your manager went to the media and did that?
Of course, because it's like a unwritten rule. In baseball, your manager, the guy who you're supposed to trust, your main guy, the guy who's supposed to be there and is your guy, believes those things about you? Good luck to the manager. I want to see that manager, see how the kiddos perform for him. I want to see that for sure.
Well, I'm trying to get as close to the edge as I can with you.
First of all, if you have a guy like that is saying all these things in the podium, they don't last long because the same players will get him out. You will see a team that maybe at times underperform. You will see teams and players that are not liking this guy because he put him under the bus and things like that. And I can name you a couple of teams right now that I have players coming to me and they don't like the guy. They don't like the guy, but they have to play. They still have to perform. They're being paid good money, but they don't like the guy. That doesn't mean they have to like him. But that guy is the one who puts him on the bus a couple of times and they hate the guy. So you want to have that or you want to have the nice guy that never says anything about him? I want to have the nice guy that don't say anything about me or anybody else in the clubhouse. And we all go out to war together. That's what I want to have. The guy that we all go to war together. That's the guy I want.
Well, I appreciate your comments. And again, we try to walk a fine line here of not overstepping. I mean, we've talked off air. There are just certain things that, you know.
So these fans, Jimbo, these fans think that Mike is out there to lose games too? Or that Mike is out there to just get paid and not make it to the playoff? Is that what they think too? Or Mike is out there managing a horrible so they don't make it to the World Series? Is that what they believe too?
I'll let them answer. They'll answer. they'll reply, so that's fine. What I found over time is that when, especially you, when you tell people things, if it doesn't fit their argument, then they just don't even want to talk about it. Nobody, like, I do find it odd, and it does surprise me that you're a very out there guy. I mean, you know, people love your inspirational tweets. They love to follow you. They love how positive you are. They love all the stuff you do with kids. Obviously, they love your brother. He's an icon. They love all this stuff. And you come on this show and you kind of contradict a little bit of their thoughts and opinions, and yet they never want to have a conversation with you on Twitter because I don't think it doesn't fit their narrative. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they don't want it. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah, because, you know, it can't be true. You know, it just can't be true that Mike cares, yeah, and he's competitive and he actually has a desire to win and a competitive fire. And I've said it, and again, I'm not in the locker room like you are. You can't tell me that the guy that I watched play all those years, you can't tell me that guy is not competitive and doesn't have fire. You can't tell me that. You just,
but that's what people want. That's what people want to say. A lot of times they could say all these things and they might believe it in their head. You know, this is what they believe. This is what they truly believe. And it doesn't, just because these guys are saying it doesn't make it real, doesn't make it true. So, all right, cool. You can say all you want about Mike, but it doesn't make it true, buddy.
Well, here's what I'll give this example and then we'll get out of here. And it's a simple. Last night is a prime example of social media and where they're at. We have everybody and their brother blasting the bullpen and Mike. Your starting pitcher gave you less than 3 innings. Your starting pitcher.
And how hard is that to understand? That's what my question always been in the show. How hard is that to understand?
I mean, your starting pitcher gave you, was it 2 1/3 or 2 2/3? That's what he gave you. He gave you less than 3 innings. And yet we're going to freak out at Mike because he had to try to get an inning out of Brebbia. He had to. You can't just take a guy out after a batter or two when your starting pitcher gave you 2 innings. You don't have enough guys down there. I guarantee you he had a couple guys down there he probably didn't even want to use yesterday. I don't understand the doctors that think these guys just show up every day and they're available. They're not. Sooner or later, you have to go with what you have and you live and die with what they have. What they don't
have. Exactly. You just said it.
They don't have a left-handed specialist in the bullpen. They don't have one. Worlds were colliding yesterday. I saw somebody. It was a great point. Pablo Sandoval is not a good right-handed hitter. So why wouldn't you bring in the lefty to face him? Well, analytical worlds are colliding because our lefty doesn't get right-handers out. Their righty doesn't hit left-handers. So the worlds are colliding in the stats world. So Mike went with the guy that he needed to get it. What are you going to bring Cecil in for, a batter? You can't. Your starter gave you less than 3 innings. So guys got to go out and give you an inning. They got to. They have to. And you got to hope they perform, and then you got to hope they're one pitch away, and then you got to hope your offense picks you up. That's what you got to hope.
And you hope sometimes that they throw 2. They throw 2 innings. I mean, because 2 1/3 is not going to get it done. 2 1/3 means you either hurt or you're either down 5-0. That's what it means. So for these guys to be complaining about the bullpen on those cases, no, you can't complain about the bullpen. The bullpen, you can complain if you want when the game is in the 8th inning and we're up 3-2 and we're up 4-2 and we bring whoever the heck you want to bring in and he doesn't do the job. That's when you can freak out about a bullpen. But when you have the game, 5-0, 6-0 already, and the starting pitching through 2 innings, he can't say nothing about no freaking bullpen. He can bring himself in and try to bring Mike Maddux to pitch in that game, and, you know, and not, nobody should say anything.
Well, we'll see what happens. This situation's going to play itself out one way or the other. I wouldn't even venture to take a guess on what's really going on behind the scenes. I would have to assume, again, this is all an assumption, I would have to assume Mo is talking to anybody that would be interested in any way, shape, or form of taking Dex, regardless of what we would have to eat to do it, just for a change of scenery. Only because I think the situation has played itself out to a point of, I don't know that there's a repair here. So we'll see what happens. Again, that's just an opinion.
Can I ask you something, Jimbo and Josh?
Of course.
Can somebody explain to me why Aguilar is not an all-star and needs a vote?
Well, I'll tell you what.
And why Eddie Rosario is not in the All-Star game and needs a boat to get in, and especially Yadi with the month missing. And can somebody explain to me why Yadi's not in the Hall of Fame? Even if I reserve, I'm not saying starting. I mean, I understand that vote. That vote is a fan. But a reserve catching, why is he not in there? If he missed a month and he still leads everybody in hitting, all the catchers. And he missed a month. And then you take, I'm not going to get into it, but and I'm not talking about Yadi. I was talking about Eddie Rosario and Aguilar.
Right.
How in the world are those guys need to be voted in? How? You know who needs to be voted in is Carp, because Carp came back from a struggle in the beginning, and now he's on fire. Now he needs to vote, right? He needs somebody to vote and say, okay, you deserve to be in. But a guy who's been hitting for all year long, like those guys and the numbers they have, they can even make the All-Star. They have to be voted in? Nah, baseball, MLB is getting to be a joke, bro. I mean, a real joke. And I'm talking about, you're talking a guy that played the game. You're talking a guy that is doing the radio for a team. I mean, baseball is getting to be a joke, man.
Well, interesting you say that, because for any of our listeners that aren't aware, we are part of the Rally Squirrel Club, and my good pal Josh will be with Benji today on the Rally Squirrel Report. You can learn more about that at rallysquirrel.com. And I happen to know a little birdie told me that the All-Star selections, the process and all that, might be a topic of discussion today over there on that premium podcast, which you can go to rallysquirrel.com and learn how you too can become a Rally Squirrel Club member. I'll let you guys get to that here in just a few minutes. Before we do that, I want to thank Benji Molina joining us on the m4byyadi.com hotline with his thoughts today. Again, it's never an easy thing for a guy in Benji's spot to comment about things that, let's quite frankly, you know, are tough to comment on, because, you know, it's just, no matter how you want to look at this, it's just not a good situation. It doesn't really matter. It's just not a good situation. I'm not 100% sure where we go from here. But then again, I don't have to be, because I don't have to live with it other than a fan. So I'll let the guys that have to deal with it deal with it. I want to thank Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers, for all they do. Josh Potter, obviously, with Art City Media, for joining us. And he's going to be taking my place today, as I have a meeting. And actually, I'm 4 minutes late to do the Rally Squirrel Report with Benji Molina. Again, some of our social media partners over there, rallysquirrel.com, the great Facebook page, is one of them. And again, you can learn more about the Rally Squirrel Club by checking it out, rallysquirrel.com. Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, thank you for your continued support, Chris. I hope everything is going well with you. I know our thoughts and prayers are with you, as I know you're having some tests done to make sure you're doing okay. We're thinking about you, pal, and we appreciate everything you do, especially your newest endeavor, the Cardinals 24/7 podcast. You do a great job. Ron, you do excellent work as well. Love everything you're doing. The Cardinals 24/7 podcast, Team of Rivals podcast. I love that concept. That's another great Facebook page. You know, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, everything STL Sports. My friend Mick Light over at Art City Media, thank you for your continued support of the show. Fans of Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals crew, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, Cardinals fans versus Cardinal haters is another good one. STL Cardinals is one. There's so many good ones out there. Josh, you have a Facebook page that is now dedicated to nothing but the great Cardinal podcast out there.
Yeah, it's Cardinals Podcast Network, and it's got 18 podcasts all dedicated to Cardinals. There's a couple, like you said, Team of Rivals and Cubs Cards Cast that dive into both the Cards and Cubs. But I mean, they're all phenomenal. It's unreal.
They all do great. There's no shortage of great Facebook groups out there. Just Google them, you'll find them. They all do tremendous work. To our partners, thank you so much. InnovativeCompanies.com, Randy Green, Stephanie, thank you so much for your continued support. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They've got you covered with the construction team, heating and cooling team, the electric team, and now the plumbing team. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, and more importantly, a man of his word. Randy Green's your man. InnovativeCompanies.com. Mark Marcuso down at Arlington Greens, thank you for your continued support. Get down there, play the course, enjoy it. Again, located in Granite City, Illinois, a hop, skip, and a jump, really from anywhere in the Metro East. You're going to be glad you you went over there and checked it out. Tell Mark Marcuso your friends at Two Birds on a Bat sent you. When you're done there, head on over to Adam's Smokehouse on Watson. Have some barbecue. Try the ribs. Tell Mike and the gang over there that you heard about them on Two Birds on a Bat. We love working with those guys. They do a tremendous a service for us. And listen, when we go over there, they take good care of us. You can't have enough barbecue, folks. That's Adam's Smokehouse. To everybody at lineupmedia.fm, we appreciate all your continued support. Yo Radio, don't forget, go to the App Store, download Yo Radio. You're going to want to have it. It's the it's just a tremendous music app. You're going to enjoy it. Lots of new stuff happening with Yo Radio. Download it. Give them a great review. They will appreciate it. Learn more about us at twobirdsonabat.com, our website where you can subscribe to the show. You can also do your Amazon shopping and help us out. We would appreciate it. Find us on social media, Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show, like our page. Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat, like our page. Invite your friends to like our page, as now you have the opportunity to win a Marcell Ozuna jersey by simply sending us at the end of the month a picture showing how many of your friends are also following Two Birds on a Bat. You can find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and again, lineupmedia.fm. We are part of the network. To all the Cardinal fans out there, I say, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.